Welcome to Donor Audio Interview 2792.
Identify a person who had a significant influence on you and explain the influence.
I think that person would be my grandfather. I used to live at my grandparents for the first 4 years of my life. That's how the influence starts, I think. And he used to be a very successful politician. I've always been interested in politics. I used to work in politics, and I'm getting a degree now in communications and marketing, hopefully to eventually go into political marketing. So I think the reason why I'm doing this today is because of the big influence that I had, that I got from him when I was very young.
What do you aspire to be?
I aspire to be successful in life. More specifically, I would like to do something related to marketing and public relations. Hopefully have my own PR firm in the future. But if for some reason I can't do that, whatever I end up doing, I just want to make sure that I'm successful and happy while I'm doing it.
How would you describe yourself as a human being?
I would describe myself as being very open, very social, very friendly, loyal, and a good person overall.
What makes you happy?
My family. We're very close. I come from a very big family, a very Catholic family. So, you know, it's very common to find big Catholic families within the Latino community. And their support means a lot to me. So they make me very happy.
What type of things make you sad?
Injustice, inequality, poverty. Yeah, those are three things that always make me sad.
Describe the world you come from and how that world shaped who you are.
Well, like I just said, I come from a big family. Not only big immediate family, but, you know, cousins, uncles, aunts. So family values are very, very big for me. A lot of, when it comes to being Latino and in my case specifically being Latin American, that means a lot to me. And I come from a country where a lot of things still need to be done. You know, a developing country, and my family has always been a permanent reminder of who I am and where I come from. And I think a lot of the things that I want to do in life eventually are to, you know, make that world that I come from a better place in the future.
Does any specific attribute, quality, or skill distinguish you from everyone else? How did you develop this attribute?
People say that I'm a good listener, actually, and that I'm very patient, and that I tend to connect with people easily. So I think that's something that kind of distinguishes me from everyone else. To be honest, I don't know how I developed the attribute. I think I was just born with it. It tends to be a constant reference.
What do you think are the most admirable qualities a person can have, and why?
I think being honest and being who you are, it's possibly the most admirable quality a person can have. I think if you can just be yourself, just being, you know, yourself and transparent and who you are and not pretend to be someone else that you're not. I think that's the best thing that you can do. Because if you do that, I don't see how you cannot fulfill any goals that you have for the long term. As long as you can keep true to yourself, you'll basically accomplish anything you need, I think.
What qualities do you like best in yourself, and what do you like least?
I'm actually going to answer both of these questions. It's the same quality. Like I said, I'm very patient. I have a lot of patience, which is good. It's actually, you know, people say patience is a virtue, which I believe it is. But at the same time, when you are too patient, I think that's actually not too good. And sometimes, you know, when I'm facing a specific situation, you know, I tell myself, like, hey, you know, just don't just sit there and listen and process everything. I think it's time to act and do something about it. Or maybe I should have done things differently, just taking some action and not being so patient about it. So I think it's both my best quality, and it's also one that I guess, I mean, it's funny because I love having that quality, but at the same time, I think I need to do something about it as well.
What kind of values did your parents instill in you that you would like to pass on to your own children?
Be happy. Whatever you do in life, just love what you do and be happy doing it. Because regardless of what it is, if you're happy doing it, then you'll be good at it. And even if you work, you know, doing whatever that is for 25 years, you'll never get bored if you're happy doing what you're doing. So that's something that they always, you know, they keep telling me. And it's something that I would definitely tell my children in the future. If I become a parent one day, that's something that I want to do.
Tell me how you like to spend time with your family.
There's a lot of things that we like to do. Horseback riding is something that we do in my family a lot. Traveling, we try to travel at least twice a year all together. Going to restaurants is something that we do a lot. When I'm with them, we do that like weekly. And just a lot of family activities in general. Even if, you know, if my dad needs to go somewhere, if the rest of us are free, he would just bring us, all of us. Same with my mom. So we do a lot of things together. But yeah, we've always had this big horse connection in the family. So horseback riding is definitely one of the big things that we do together.
Tell me about the most cherished present you ever received for your birthday or holiday, and tell me why this gift was so special.
I think it was when I turned 16, I got a car. It wasn't a great car, but I was just not expecting to get a car. You know, I was only 16 years old, and I thought it was more than just having a car. I thought it was a huge responsibility to have a car. So it meant a lot. It said a lot about what my parents thought of me. Even though I was, you know, a teenager, they just went and gave me this car and the keys and, like, that's yours, you know, you can do with it whatever you want. And a lot of people would think, like, oh, I'm sure you just went crazy with your car and, you know, driving fast all the time. For me, it was the opposite, because I felt like I had this huge responsibility, especially because they had spent so much money getting me this car. So it meant a lot for me. It's one of those birthday presents that I still remember quite well.
Tell me about some activities you enjoyed in your childhood.
Swimming was a big thing. I kind of grew up very close to the ocean, so that's something I did almost on a weekly basis. I also, my grandfather used to have a lot of dogs, German Shepherds. He used to breed them and like take them like to national competitions and stuff. So just being around, you know, dogs and animals in general was something that I enjoyed a lot. Walking around my neighborhood, they used to have a lot of ice cream shops. So we would walk around like Sundays and go for ice cream. So yeah, like those three things are like very like vivid memories that I have from my childhood that I know that I enjoyed a lot.
What is your favorite book?
My favorite book, The House of the Spirits by Isabel Allende. Very, very good book. And it talks about talks three generations of this Chilean family all the way from, you know, the beginning of last century until the after the Pinochet dictatorship. And Allende is one of my favorite authors. So I love like historic novels. So these books this book kind of covers all those, you know, different things that I like. So definitely that one.
What is your favorite word and why?
My favorite word is actually, it's a little cheesy, world. The reason why it's my favorite word is because Spanish is my first language. So when I was learning English, that was actually a very hard word to be able to pronounce. Because in Spanish, there's no such thing as having three consonants, you know, after each other. It just doesn't exist. So to have a word with only one vowel, and then having RLD after the vowel was actually, even today, most Spanish speakers, they have a hard time pronouncing that word. I mean, that word, world. So I remember practicing to be able to, like, get it right. And it's funny because now I've traveled a lot and I've lived in many countries around the world. So I always like to think of myself as a world citizen kind of person. So it has, like, a special, you know, meaning to it.
What was the last movie you saw, and did you like it?
The last movie I saw was actually last night. I went to see Batman. I loved it. Very long movie, it's almost 3 hours long. The first half of the movie, I was like, this is okay. But then the second half of the movie, especially the ending, it's like, oh my god, this is awesome. So yeah, that was the last one, and I did enjoy it quite a lot, actually.
What type of sports do you like to watch?
I like to watch tennis. Soccer, I used to watch it a lot, not so much today, but I do watch it when it's like during the World Cup. I don't miss one single game, or the European Cup. And lately, I've been watching a lot of golf, but I think that's just because I'm hanging out with a lot of, I have new friends that are big into golf, and the PGA tournament is going on, and the British Open was last week, so I think that's why I'm watching golf lately.
What do you do for fun? What are your hobbies?
I love reading. I try to always be permanently reading a book. I'm in school right now, so not only, you know, my textbooks, but something that's just for pleasure. I love traveling. I try to do that every time I can. Like I said before, horseback riding, I also love doing that. I don't do it as much now, but yeah, I enjoy that. And also, like kayaking, and yeah, I like that. So those are some of my current hobbies right now.
Are you a creative person? If so, how do you express your creativity?
I like to think I am a creative person. A lot of the things that I do in school now are projects that are very much related to creativity. But one thing that I personally do that I think is kind of creative, or the way, you know, when I see what I do, I think it's a creative project, is writing. I enjoy writing. I like to write every now and then, and I like to make up my own stories and, like, my little mini novels, which is, you know, it's a creative process, I think. So that's a way that I use to express my creativity.
Has anyone ever told you that you resemble a particular celebrity?
Yes, and it's more of a recent thing, and I've had this happen to me at least 4 times in the past 2 months. I don't know if he's a celebrity, if you could call him a celebrity, but Senator Marco Rubio, apparently we look alike, I don't see it. I mean, when I look at his pictures online, I really don't see it, but people have asked me if we're related or if I get it a lot. So yeah, I don't know if he's you know, if you could define him as a celebrity, but he's like a public figure, I guess. So, yep, Marco Rubio.
Evaluate a significant experience, achievement, risk you have taken, or ethical dilemma you have faced, and its impact on you.
I'm currently in school, and it's in a really what I like to think it's a prestigious university, and of course if I'm in the program it's because you know I got admitted to the program. For me that was very, very significant because even though I had always been interested in this particular school and this particular program, for like 2 or 3 years I sent the application almost like 3 years after I knew about the program because I thought, you know, they're never going to accept me. That's, you know, no one, I mean, I'm sure they're very selective and almost like, I don't know, more than 50% of the people that apply get rejected. So, forget about it. And then one day I was like, you know what? I've got nothing to lose. Let's just do it. I think I have the experience and the qualities and the academic background to do this. So let's apply and see what happens. And then I got in. And that meant a lot. It had a tremendous impact on me because it made me realize that a lot of the things in life, I mean, there's a lot of things that we don't do just because we think we can't do. It's like all these mental obstacles that we create in our mind, but I mean, they're just, that's what they are, mental obstacles, you know? And a lot of times those obstacles, they stop you from pursuing certain dreams, I guess, just because you think is not going to happen. So I guess, you know, what I'm trying to say is, you never know what you can do until you try. And that was the biggest impact that this specific achievement had on my life.
Choose a prominent person, either living, deceased, or fictional, whom you would like to interview and explain why.
I would love to interview one, a Spanish conquistador. I've always been like fascinated with that historical period, this you know, the discovery of the New World, and I've always wondered, you know, what did they think? What was the first impression that they had when they saw? Not you know the coast or whatever America, because they thought this was actually India, but you know the whole Inca Empire or the Aztec civilization and that first encounter between you know Europeans and the natives and yeah I if Cortez you know were to be alive or Columbus or Pizarro, I would have loved to just sit down with them and interview them and kind of take note of, you know, what they have to say.
Recall an occasion when you took a risk that you now know was the right thing to do.
I guess what I'm doing right now, it's kind of a risk that I took. When I first started school, when I graduated from my bachelor's degree, I was a political science major. And that's the only thing I did after I graduated for like 4 years after I graduated. But I had always been interested in the communications aspect of this field, specifically the marketing aspect of it. And when I chose to apply to the program that I'm in right now, which is, you know, it's kind of different from what I used to do, a lot of people thought I was kind of crazy. You know, they were like, why are you doing that? Just stay here where you are. You have a lot of possibilities here. You can definitely have a stable political future. If you keep doing what you're doing now, why stop and then start with this communications thing and move, you know, to a different town and all these things. So it was kind of a risk, but it's what I love. Yeah, I'm enjoying doing what I'm doing right now a lot. I don't regret it at all. Actually, I'm learning a lot from it, and I think a lot of the things I'm learning now, I'm going to be able to apply to that thing that I used to do. So yeah, for me, it's more of a win-win situation, but it was definitely a risk when I made the decision to stop doing what I was doing and start something new.
Is there a work of art, piece of music, scientific phenomenon, mathematic theory, or piece of literature that has surprised or unsettled or challenged you, and in what way?
I think there was one piece of literature that was actually a little challenging for me, and it's a book called 100 Years of Solitude by Garcia Marquez. It's a very long book. It's a hard book to read because, I mean, it's a great book, but it's hard because there's just so much, and it's like 1,000 different stories in, you know, all related, and it's hard to follow. Like, you have to stop and take some breaks, and then sometimes even take notes while you're reading the book, because otherwise you'll get lost, and you have to, like, go back and reread everything, and, I mean, it was very challenging, but I think it was also very surprising because the book talks about what they call magical realism, which is, you know, a term in Latin American literature, and a lot of the things that they describe in this book I can relate to because of my background and because I come from a big family and because of Latin American history and all these things. So it was a good book to read for me because it helped me gain a new perspective on a lot of things about my culture that I had not realized, you know, before. So it was in that way it was very surprising and at the same time it was very challenging because it's way too many things going on at the same time, and people say it's one of the, you know, greatest masterpieces of literature, like, in the past century. So I would definitely recommend it as well.
Of everything in the world, what would you like to be doing right now?
I'm pretty happy with what I'm doing right now, but from everything in the world, this is going to be a little funny. I love bread. Love, love, love bread. Pastries. I mean, everything that's related to that. So, if I could have my own bakery and just be like a baker, I mean, I would be one of the happiest people in this world. I don't know. For some reason, I've always thought, like, you know, if one day I have a lot of money and I can just do whatever I want, I'll just have a little bakery. Because I love that. And I love, like, the whole thing of, you know, people going in the morning and getting their bread or whatever they need for the day. Yeah, so that's like a one little thing that I would like to do.
Where would you like to be the most?
I love warm weather. And like I said before, I was raised very close to the ocean. I love swimming. And just being close to water means a lot to me. People say that when you're raised next to the ocean, it's just different. It's different, and I think it's a blessing, actually. So, for this question, where would I like to be the most? Not now, but maybe in the future, I would like to live somewhere that's close, or, you know, to the ocean, somewhere where I can just open my window and see the sea, and it's a nice feeling when you're next to the ocean. So yeah, that's where I would like to be the most.
Who would you prefer to be with at this moment?
Who would I prefer to be with at this moment? I guess I could go back to my grandfather. He passed away about 2 or 3 years. It was more. It's more like 5 years ago, and it was very sudden. We were not expecting it. He was very healthy. He passed away while he was sleeping, so it was definitely. I mean, it was very, very unexpected. And we were very close, so I think there's a lot of things that I would love to have asked him, because I thought we shared a lot of things, we had a lot of things in common, and he was just a great person to have very long conversations with. So I would have loved to be, you know, to have him here and just to talk, especially now that he's gone. There's a lot of things that I would have liked to ask him before he actually left. So yeah, he would be the person that I would prefer to be with right now. Yeah.
What is your approach to life?
Be happy. Enjoy life. Do what makes you happy. Live your life to the fullest. I'm sure a lot of people say this, but it's so true. I think that's the only way to live life. I mean, you just have to be happy with what you do. You have to be happy with the things that you choose to do. And if you do that, you're just going to have an amazing life. So just go ahead and do that.
What was the most difficult time in your life? How did you overcome these difficulties? How did your perspective on life change as a result of the difficulty?
I don't know if it was actually like a very, very difficult time. But as I mentioned, I've lived in different countries. And when I graduated from high school, I moved to a different country to go to college. And that was a very difficult period in my life because for the first time ever, you know, I was by myself. No parents, no one I knew, you know. New town, no friends, different language, different culture, different country. It was tough. It was tough. And I remember, like, during my first semester, I kept calling my parents, telling them, and I would tell them, you know, that this is too hard. I can't do this. I have to go back home. This is not what I want. This is not for me. Even though I had always said to them, that's exactly what I want to do. When I finally did it, I was like, forget about it. This is way too much. And they always were like, no, you know, just give it some time. Just hold on. And you'll see things will get better eventually. And they were so right. I kind of, you know, I had to think outside my little bubble, open up my mind, you know, I guess try new things, experience new things. And little by little, the experience got way much better. And I started enjoying it. What I thought it was a difficulty at first ended up being a tremendous pleasure, actually. And it's funny because now, because I keep moving. And every time I move, I just go ahead and apply the same process. I did. It was such a big lesson for me. So I just keep doing it over and over and over again. And it's something that I need in my life now. You know, if I just stay in one place and I get too used to things and too comfortable with things, I'm a little desperate. I'm like, okay, this is, I got to do something about this. You know, this is way too good. So I'm always challenging myself to do these kind of things. And so, yeah, it was an interesting experience.
Did you have a favorite board game when you were a kid?
I don't think I had a favorite board game, but one game that I enjoyed playing and that I still play, and it's funny because it's one of my roommate's favorite board games. It's a very simple board game, Guess Who. I love it. I love that game. And I don't know. I've when it comes to board games, I like simple things, funny, you know, cool things. So Guess Who, it's definitely a funny one. And it's a board game that it doesn't matter how old you are or, like, you know, how many years have passed, you always enjoy playing that game. So yeah, that was one. And the other one that I enjoyed a lot was Pictionary. I think, and they're kind of related because you're guessing, you know, in both games, you're guessing what the other person is drawing, and then the other one, for Guess Who, you're guessing, you're trying to guess who the person is based on the descriptions of the person. So maybe guessing games, it's what I like. So yeah, those were two games that I enjoyed.
Who is your favorite actor?
Meryl Streep. I don't think there's today. Yeah, there's no better actor or actress of you know she's the best. 3 Academy Awards, which is amazing. I know there's one actress that actually had more Academy Awards, Katharine Hepburn. She had 4. But living actors, you know, today, she's the one with the most Academy Awards, and I think she has more than almost 20. She's been nominated more than, like, almost 20 times. Amazing, amazing. I mean, every role she plays is just like a piece of art. So, yeah, definitely Meryl Streep. Yeah, big fan.
What is your favorite dinner?
Italian is definitely my favorite, but within the Italian, the different Italian dishes, lasagna is like my favorite forever and ever. I could eat lasagna every day. I'm not kidding. And not get tired of it. So yeah, if it's meat lasagna, I've had chicken lasagna. There's also spinach lasagna, and I have some Italian friends, and they tell me that there's actually a lot more like different categories of lasagnas that we just don't have here. But I'm, you know, I just need to try them all, I guess, to see which one is my favorite.
What is the craziest thing you have ever done?
I don't know if this is like super crazy, but for me it was a surprising thing, something that I did. I lived in Europe a while ago, and I spent a few months in Luxembourg. And I remember I was at this event where they had this big dinner. This, like, it was more of a gala. I remember there was a huge table, and two seats in the middle of the table were, one was reserved, but the one next to it, it didn't have like a reserved sign or anything like that. And there was just no place to sit. And I had my dinner with me. So I went there and I said, "I'm sorry, is this taken?" And then the person, you know, that was sitting next to that chair said, "I don't think so. I know that one is, but that one isn't." I found out that the reason why it was empty was because the one chair that was reserved was for the Crown Prince of Luxembourg. And, you know, you just can go and sit next to the Crown Prince. Nah. Apparently you're not supposed to do that. I did it. I didn't know. So finally, and I didn't know he was the Crown Prince, so he came and sat there next to me, and he was actually a little surprised that I was just there sitting, like, who the heck is this guy? I started talking to him, you know, just like a normal person, and we were, I think he's kind of we're like the same age, so he wasn't like, you know, like an older kind of guy, maybe he's even younger, I don't know, maybe 1 or 2 years. Anyways, we ended up having an awesome time. We talked the entire night. It wasn't until he left that I found out who he was. And I was like, "Oh my God, I'm in big trouble. What the hell did I? I mean, what, I'm sorry. What did I say? You know, what? I hope I didn't do anything wrong." And I was like thinking about it the entire night. 3 weeks later, I get a letter from the Luxembourgish government, and I was like, "Okay, of course I'm going to jail. I'm sure I did something that night. Maybe I said something. I offended him. Something like that." And you have to understand that in Luxembourg, the role of the monarchy is still very powerful. It's not like some other monarchies, like, I don't know, Britain or Spain. The monarch actually has power. The letter was actually an invitation for me to attend a dinner at the Grand Palace. And it was a letter from his mom, which the Grand Duchess, which is like kind of the queen of Luxembourg, because her son had spent such a nice time, I guess, talking about whatever we talked about, that she wanted to invite me back. And I went back to the palace to attend this dinner, and they gave me a little script that I had to memorize, and they also told me that she was born in Cuba, so she spoke Spanish was actually her first language. And some of my friends were like, they were pretty much daring me. They were like, "Oh my God, definitely talk to her in Spanish." And, of course, I was very nervous because they told me, you know, don't even think about it. English is the language that you should use with the Grand Duchess. And I went up to her finally the moment arrived. I went up to her and I said everything that I was supposed to, that was like on the script, but I said it in Spanish. And her face, it was like shock. And I was like, "Okay, of course, now I'm going to jail here. Yeah, thank you very much." She loved it. She loved it. I was like the highlight of the night. She introduced me to all the different people that were there, to delegations, to government officials, Yeah, and I actually, after, I mean, we had a great night. She was very, actually, very nice, talking to me a lot on a very personal level, which for me was actually very surprising. And I actually got invited to a third dinner, you know, months later after that. So this was a crazy thing. This is something that you never do in a country like Luxembourg, where the royal family is so, so respected, like, you know, yeah. You just didn't do this. Luxembourgers could not believe what I had done. Some of them thought it was actually a little disrespectful. Some of them thought it was a little, you know, it was a, like, more of a, an offense from my part. I did it. Yes, it was crazy, but the result was amazing. And I think just, you know, there's sometimes in life you just have to take little risks like that. And they'll have pretty positive outcomes. So, yeah.
What is the first thing you do in the morning?
The first thing I do in the morning, I turn on my computer and I start playing music super loud so I can wake up. Otherwise, I'm not going to wake up. So I need to play music, music that I like, though, because otherwise I'm just going to turn it off and go back to bed. So yeah, and that's what I do. And I also go to the kitchen and get a glass of cold water. I like doing that. I don't know why, but those are the first two things that I do every morning.
What is something you wish you could do, but you can't?
I wish I could be the richest man alive. Right now I can't. Yeah, that's one thing. And it's funny because I promise you it's not like an egocentric, you know, approach to life. It's more of a, I want to help people as much as possible in my life, especially those that, you know, have not been as fortunate as one has been. So if I could be Bill Gates for a day, believe me, a lot of that money would disappear within 24 hours, and it would be just to help people. So we'll see, hopefully one day.
You are majoring in communications. When did you first become interested in this field?
I think I became interested when I was in high school for the first time, and I remember talking about it to my parents, and my mom, she was like, you know, I think you would be great at it, but there's so other great things that you could do with your life, and you have all these different, you know, passions and different fields that you could pursue. Why don't you, you know, evaluate those options and see what happens, which is exactly what I did. And that's why I ended up choosing what I chose at that time, which was political science. But it's funny because I think political science and communications go hand in hand. And after I graduated and I worked in this field for years, I ended up coming back to communications. So yeah, so I guess there's always been an interest, you know, since high school, at least. I was always good literature, Spanish, English classes. I would love to present in class and you know, take like speech classes and just public speaking. It's something that I've always enjoyed. So yeah, the interest has always, you know, been there.
What are your plans upon graduation?
I think I want to explore the marketing field a bit more. I'm learning about it now in school, and I am actually enjoying it quite a lot. I have no marketing background whatsoever, but it's something that I really like, and the more I learn about it, the more I like it. You know, maybe like for the next 2-3 years, marketing is kind of where I want to be working, just to gain as, you know, much experience as possible.
If you could choose any career, what would you be?
I love music, so maybe I don't know if it, not a singer, but more of a musician. Like a composer, kind of, you know. I love classical music. And I try to go to plays and go to operas and the theater as much as I can. So if I could be a classical composer, That would be something, that would be like a dream. I mean, yeah. Of course, I know nothing about writing music, so that's not going to happen. But yeah, it would be a cool career, I think, to have.
If you could take a snapshot of your life 10 years from now, what would you be doing in regards to work, family, and travel?
In regards to work, I think I see myself maybe working in marketing and public relations, or even political marketing. That way I would combine both of the fields that I've worked in before. Family-wise, maybe have a family. I have no idea when it comes to family and having a girlfriend, because that's one of those things that you have no... I mean, you do have control over the situation, but you only, I mean, it's only 50%, right? So yeah, if I have a family 10 years from now, that would be great. I've always thought of myself as a family guy. I love kids. And it's funny because they seem to have a connection with me. Every time I'm around kids, I'm always like, you know, their best friend. So I would love to have that if possible. And because I like kids, I would love to have children myself, you know. And in terms of travel, hopefully a job that requires me to travel. I think, you know, with my background and just and the fact that I've lived in different places, and that that I speak, you know, different languages, would be definitely a great benefit to be traveling around because of my job. So we'll see.
Tell me what you would consider a romantic evening.
The usual, you know. Going well, it depends. I guess it depends on the person. But I'm very the kind of, you know, going to dinner kind of guy, and maybe a movie afterwards, or you know, if possible, walking on the beach. I mean, it depends on where you are, I guess. But yeah, I guess it depends on the person. Depends on what the interests are. Because if you know, if I'm dating someone that loves to read, then maybe just something as simple as going to Barnes & Noble and getting coffee, you know, maybe going to a coffee shop, going to a Starbucks with like two good books, you know, that means a lot more to that person than maybe going to the movies. So I guess, yeah, I guess it depends. I'm very flexible when it comes to romantic plans, you know.
What qualities do you look for in a potential mate?
Intelligence. Someone that is smart. Someone that loves to, you know, just have long conversations about, I guess, important things to talk about. For me, being able to sit down and, like I said, maybe have coffee and talk about, you know, what's going to happen to the whole, you know, situation in Syria, for example. That's happening right now. Or what do you think about the last Russian, you know, presidential election? Or even things that are happening, you know, locally. For me, that's very, very important. And being, you know, being able to have deep conversations, not only about things that are happening right now, but other things, maybe personal things, you know, family, I mean, things. It depends. But yeah, if I'm not able to sit down and or to just to talk or to learn from you as a person, to get that kind of productive feedback, then there's no attraction from my side. So yeah, so I need that, like on a permanent basis, kind of. And that's what I look in a potential mate.
What is the nicest thing you could do for your significant other?
Sacrifice. It's, you know, this, it's a relationship. You know, it's not you anymore. It's two people now. It's a couple. And the one thing I've learned with experience is that you do have to learn how to sacrifice some of the things that you maybe not that you enjoy, things that you're used to doing, enable to make things work. If one of the two is not willing to do, you know, like those little things, it's just not going to work. So, and you need to learn that from, you know, like early in this whole relationship experience. Yeah, and just, you know, being flexible and open, it's extremely important. And going back to the communications, there's got to be open, honest, you know, clear communication. And I think a lot of those sacrifices that you choose to make in a relationship are based on that communication that you keep with your partner. So yeah, that's for me, that's the nicest thing that you could do, you know, for your significant other. Yeah.
Why did you decide to participate in this donor program?
Because I think there's two reasons. The first reason is because I know people that have had problems getting pregnant, even people within my family, cousins that have gone through a lot and have suffered a lot, and I know how important having a family, you know, is for them. The good thing is that they were able to actually do it eventually, and now these two cousins that I'm thinking of have families, so that's, it was great. But I felt like after learning from what they had to experience and go through, I wanted to just be able to do something about it. Not maybe for them, but people that were kind of going through the same thing. And that's, for me, being a donor, it's a way to help in a way. So that's one reason. And then I guess the second reason is because, like I said, I guess you never know if you're ever gonna, I mean, if you're gonna get married in the future. You don't know if you're gonna have children in the future. I have no idea what's gonna happen to my, you know, to me as a potential candidate in the future. And I think there's I don't know. I mean, yes, I want to help people, but at the same time, if people can take maybe like advantage of me, you know, in a good way, of course, and all these different things that we've talked about during this interview, I hope people, you know, someone could use that in order to solve, I guess, whatever problems they're having, and maybe that would be a way to help them, you know, have a family if they need to. So yeah, it's basically for those two reasons.
This concludes Donor Audio Interview 2792.